Welcome to the Sunday morning service at Bible Baptist Church in Hampton, Georgia, where Pastor Lauren Regeer opens God's Word each week to provide us with biblically based teaching that helps you meet life head on. Thank you for joining us, and may your hearts be blessed as God's Word is taught. And now, here is Pastor Lauren Regeer.
Well, amen. Thank you, ladies. When a men's group sings, they basically throw a suit and tie on, come up, sing. These ladies, I appreciate them. Their faces were glowing with the love of Christ, and I know they got up before the birds did to get their kids ready and all the ducks in a row, so to speak, and get the kids packed up and fed, and so it's a little more of a challenge, and they did a great job. Thank you for your ministry to us. And again, thank you to all the musicians. I said, if you're a beginning piano player, this would be a great Sunday to play, wouldn't it? Get behind there, nobody sees you. But it wasn't a beginner we heard back there. Thank you for all who have been playing and ministering to us. I couldn't leave the book of Psalms without going to one of my favorites, if not my favorite, and perhaps yours as well, Psalm 23. Let's go there as we begin to look at one of the most well-known, well-loved psalms in all the Bible, Psalm 23. And as is our custom in this short study, we're not going to spend many weeks in the book of Psalms, but we just wanted to highlight a few. Let me just encourage you to turn there, and if you get that wonderful passage there, let's either quote it or read it together as we begin. All right, you there? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wonderful, well-known psalm, and I thought we certainly ought to spend a few minutes here. It's great to have, by the way, it's great to have some of these youngsters that really Randy Starr's had a burden for. He's riding a bus now, has to hear it for a couple, 3 weeks, and is bringing some to give an opportunity. And he said, it took me a lot, preacher, to get to the front row, but these three boys brought me all the way up. Or thank you, you get the gold star today. We're glad you're the golden star. There he is. But we're glad you're here. And I don't know who the oldest one is. I think you're the oldest. You be the row monitor, because Mr. Randy Starr will need a lot of looking over, okay? But it's good to have all you who come in the morning bus route. We're glad to have each one of you here, of course. Let's pray together and then dig in. Father, what a joy it is to spend some time in the Word of God, a very familiar text. I do know that you are the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. And Lord, you're not only the shepherd, you're the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. You know what we need as a good shepherd. And Lord, I pray this morning you would feed us in good pastures with this psalm. And I pray, Lord, that we would be endeared to love you more, to walk more closely to the great shepherd. Thank you for each who's here. And I pray, Lord, that you would convict and that you would convince by your Spirit's leading, guiding in our hearts. And I pray that you would just fill this preacher so that you would anoint me with the right power to preach exactly the words that just needed to be heard this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Psalm 23 perhaps the most well-known portion of Scripture, both to lost and saved folks alike. In Georgia, we don't know that much about sheep. We really don't. I've driven around 7 years, I guess, and I've not seen a sheep farm anywhere. I suppose they're out there, and I was just guessing as to why we don't have many sheep farms in Georgia. I have a sneaking suspicion it's just because it's so cotton-picking hot right down here. Sheep with all their wool would not do well in Georgia. It might have something to do with the yellow pollen. Yellow wool is not all that attractive. I don't know. But I certainly know that around the place where David grew up in Palestine and Israel, many, many folks, at least outside of the urban areas, the big cities, almost every family would have some sheep in their care. How many of you grew up, let's say, on a farm or around farms, okay? How many of you ever raised sheep in your life? See, that's what I thought. There's a hand going up over here. All right, maybe I missed a couple. So you have a head start in understanding what this little psalm is all about. Most well-known, well-loved, perhaps, of all the texts of Scripture is Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." Because of references there towards the end of this little psalm, it's used often in our funerals, right? This is often a text that is used at a funeral meditation or message, and it has to do with the valley of the shadow of death in verse 4, and the promise that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And the promise there that ends this psalm is, I will, as a believer, dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a great hymn, Hebrew hymn this is. It has been likened by the great preacher Spurgeon as the nightingale of all the Hebrew songs. Now, that didn't make much sense to me either, because I don't know how many of you heard nightingales sing. I don't think I have. I had to actually look it up. Please don't Google that now, all right? It is a beautiful song sung by this little bird, at even at night, this little bird will just fill the air with a beautiful, extremely beautiful hymn or song, and it's just wonderful to listen to. I've never heard many of them. It's spoken by many that's even more beautiful than the whippoorwill. My father in Brazil had a bird that used to bother him to no end. When the moon would shine brightly, this bird would sing and keep him up at night. And I can remember him grabbing the shotgun and going out there in the middle of the night trying to find the singing bird that kept him up. The point of this is, in the middle of the night, Spurgeon was alluding to this, even in the night seasons of your life, when things are going all wrong, so to speak, this psalm is a great encouragement to us. The Lord, my shepherd. I've entitled this sermon this morning, "Thank You, My Shepherd," because when you read these little short verses, your heart has to be thrilled with the God who cares for you. Did you know that you have a shepherd that loves you more than any other God in the world? He is the great shepherd who loves you. You take his hand with me this morning. Let's walk through these verses together and be amazed again that even in the night, the valley of the shadows, even of death, we have no reason to fear, for he is with us. First of all, as we examine this pearl of a psalm together, let's understand that we can't help but noticing the security of belonging to a good shepherd, the security that comes when we belong to a good shepherd. The Lord, David starts this out wonderfully, "The Lord is my shepherd," Jehovah. Can you say this morning with absolute certainty that you belong to God? It's a blessing, isn't it, to know that we know that we know, 100% sure, that we're part of God's family in his flock. Many in our school raised their hand and prayed prayers to receive Christ as their Savior this week. It was exciting. Some, even in our church, through our revival services with Dr. Tom Farrell, raised their hand to mention and to indicate that they needed the Lord. And what a thrill it was to lead some of these to Christ. Pray for us as we lead these new believers in their walk, their forever life in Christ. You can't have an eternal life for a little while. The Lord becomes your shepherd the moment you receive him as your Lord and Savior. And many did that. It was exciting this morning in our new believers Sunday school class or foundations class to have people who are in our church from all over the world. They've recently attached themselves to Bible Baptist Church, and it's exciting. We had folks in our little group of less than a dozen who spoke Urdu from Pakistan and Portuguese. I understood them a little better than the Urdu. And then we had folks that speak, a lady that speaks Creole. She was there. And then we had Morris Hearn, who speaks Southern. He was there. Who else do we have? It seemed like there was another language group represented. And yet all of us have taken a hold of the Good Shepherd's hand. And we want to walk in this new life together in such a way that would please the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. You cannot read this little psalm without once and again, over and over, coming across pronouns of attachment and relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down. I know the Bible is all about the sovereignty of God, but you can't help but understanding there is a joy in the heart of the psalmist when he says, there may be others that enjoy a relationship with God, but I want you to know that the Lord, he seems to be so thankful, this, the Lord is my shepherd. Folks, if you don't have that relationship this morning, you can have it. You can know the Lord as your personal Savior. As I was seated here next to our preacher this past week, and we looked at folks as they filled in the auditorium, and I just nudged him and I said, what would it be like to live life without knowing you're part of God's family? What do you say in life's greatest storms? I am my own shepherd. I pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I trust my own resources. I'll get through this somehow by myself on my own. I don't need a shepherd. I don't need God. Only the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But thankfully, we can take the hand of God with David and say, the Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that? Do you know that for sure? Ask yourself some questions then. Do I really belong to Him? Have you recognized a time in your life where you personally received Him as your Savior, Shepherd, King? Do you understand that He bought you with a price, His blood, and marked you with as His own flock, His own sheep? You've become a part of His family. No longer are you own, your own, but you've been bought with a price. You're a follower. Lord Jesus Christ, He calls us the sheep of His shepherd. God calls us, alludes to us as sheep for a reason. We'll see that this morning. Can you say without a question, the Lord is my owner? I belong to Him. As I studied this text, I read of one farmer who got into sheep farming for the first time, and he bought 30 ewes. These are female sheep, and the man who sold him the stock handed him a large knife as soon as he wrote the bill of sale. And he says, here, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to mark these, identify these sheep as your own. It's a painful process, but every sheep had to be brought in and a large wooden block laid out and the head laid down and the ear pulled out. And the ear was notched by this knife or a pair of large shears to indicate that that sheep now belongs to this owner. We are bought with a price and identified with Him. Isn't it amazing? The cross is that symbol that identifies us with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you have decided to follow the Lord and you've accepted Him as your Savior. You know the next step of identification is baptism. It's covered up today by the set behind me. Behind there, believe it or not, we have a baptismal pool, and that doesn't save you, but it is that mark that says to all those who come as a witness to testify, this one has followed the Lord, and as the Lord has been buried and rose again for this one's justification, this one is going into the water, and he's going under the water, no magical properties to the water, but he's saying to the world, I now follow that shepherd. I encourage you to take care of that as the first mark of obedience. Each shepherd had his own distinctive mark or notch in the ear of the sheep. And the owner could even tell at a great distance that that sheep belongs to my flock, even if it gets lost out of the fence and goes away. That sheep by the ear notch is mine. Not a pleasant procedure, but it identified that sheep as his own. Many of you, of course, have said, I've decided to follow Jesus. I've surrendered a new area of my life to Him. I hope people at a distance can tell, even at a distance can tell that you're part of God's family by the way you act and live and speak and sing and dress, that you're part of God's family. David said, I belong to the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I respond now to His authority and ownership in my life. He is the good shepherd. I belong to Him. I trust you can say that. The Bible calls our Lord not just a shepherd. He is, in fact, a shepherd. We are, as pastors, the under-shepherds. We reflect His care for others. But He is the chief shepherd, the true shepherd, the great shepherd. Secondly, I want you to know there's a satisfaction that comes in belonging to a loving shepherd. Look at what He does for us. It's amazing. The concept is complete contentment in the leadership and the loving leadership of this great shepherd. What does He do for us? Well, He gives us a lot of wonderful benefits. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. Don't take that too literally this morning. Stay upright, please. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. There's a satisfaction, a contentment that comes under the leadership of this great shepherd. Are you content this morning with the life you enjoy in Christ? Is there a peace that comes? We talked about that in our Sunday school class. When we met the Lord, there was a peace that moved in. Great peace have they that love thy law. Philip Keller, who writes a wonderful book entitled A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, said that he lived, when he had his sheep operation, he lived right next to one of the most indifferent shepherds in all of his district. He who cared for his sheep lived right next door to a sheep farming operation where the owner was the least bit care. He cared very little about his own sheep. He wondered from time to time, why does this man even have sheep? He said it was amazing to watch the flocks that lived next door to his. They were bug-infested, diseased, hungry. His land was neglected. He was totally unconcerned. The state of his sheep was totally unknown to him. He just kind of let them be self-directed sheep. He didn't feed them well, and they fell prey to dogs, he said. Often he would see them mauled by cougars and taken by thieves. To him, they were just dumb animals waiting to be slaughtered. That's not our shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's preparing us to look like Him, spend eternity with Him in the fold called heaven. They often, he said, these neighbor's sheep would often come to the fence line, looking over at the well-watered fields and pastures and the lush area, and they would have these longing eyes, not so much, he said, Philip Keller writes, not so much for the grass that was across the other fence. You heard about that, the grass is always greener. They were looking over the fence almost as if to say, we would give anything to be under the care of that shepherd. The devil promises the world, doesn't he? He promises everything. He covers it with glitter and sugar and spice, and he makes it look attractive, but he is about our destruction. The good shepherd cares about our health. What a wonderful truth it is that he is the good shepherd. He cares for us. First, you see how he cares. Well, he expresses it here in this wonderful psalm. The Bible uses a term, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. First of all, we see that He watches over our wants, and that's our needs, not our greeds, of course. He doesn't want us to be in want for any spiritual or healthy thing. God loves us, just like a good parent loves his child. The Lord Yahweh is the word, is the title for the God who takes, the great God, the faithful God, Yahweh, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. One little girl read this verse and she says, what that means is, the Lord is my shepherd, I'll never need anything. I told you about a little boy who was overlooking the farm. He was 8 years of age. He was seated on the back porch by his big, broad-shouldered daddy, the farm owner. And the father was thinking ahead about when his oldest son, who was only 8, would take over the farm. And he said, "Son, I want to tell you something. If you watch your P's and Q's, whatever that means, if you fly right, whatever that means to an 8-year-old, one day, son," he tapped him on his head, "one day, look out here, all this will be yours." And the little boy looked at his big daddy and said, "Daddy, I don't want all this." He said, you don't want to follow in your daddy's footsteps and take all of this as your own?" The little boy just smiled and looked up at his daddy and said, "Why would I want all of this when I have you?" The Lord is my shepherd. I'll never want. His children don't beg bread. God takes care of our physical and spiritual needs. He is the good shepherd. He never slumbers or sleeps. He never lays down on his watch. He's always looking because he's never asleep. We can rest. I'll never want. He's taking care of all of my needs. Philippians 4:19, every need he is supplying. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's the promise. Are you worried about your needs? God has promised to take care of them. He watches not over my wants, but also over my weariness. Notice verse 2. Our good shepherd, he makes us to lie down in green pastures. Are you weary this morning? Last week perhaps wore you out a little bit physically. Are you weary with life, weary with the battle of sin? Are you just tired? Your walk with the Lord, weary and well-doing. Everybody else at the office is partying and having a great time, and you're trying to walk for the Lord. Are you weary of the battle around you? The Bible says to all those who are weary in soul, "Come unto me, all you that weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? I will give you rest." The good shepherd is alert to the need that you have and I have for rest. The word restore there, he restoreth, verse 3, he restores has to do with revives me, gives me life. The only shepherd in all the world that has the ability to bring you life and to give you life, abundant life, is this good shepherd. He knows you're tired. He knows your needs. He knows your soul's battles. He loves you, and he wants you to have rest in your heart. He does. Peace in your soul. He makes me, verse 2, to lie down. Sometimes I'll look at my wife, who's always busy, and I'll say, "Honey, just sit down for a minute." She says, "I can't. Too much to do." Ladies, we appreciate your love for getting things done, and she works her fingers to the bone just to get things done here and at home, and I love her for that energy, but the Lord wants us, he makes us to lie down. I am told that a sheep will not naturally just stop, and he has to be almost forced, and will only lie down, never eats while he's lying down, but only lie down to rest when four things are in place. Four conditions must be met. Shepherds tell me this. I did not know this. They have to be free of fear, free of thirst, free of aggravations, and free of hunger. Maybe that's why my wife never stops. She's always aggravated with me. No, I'm just kidding. A flock that is restless, swarmed by pests, fearful of threats, predators, disturbed by the presence of danger, will simply not lie down. They won't. The good shepherd knows your heart. In fact, I am told that sheep are skittish animals. I didn't know this. I've been around a lot of cattle and hogs, chickens a few, but not around many sheep. But a sheep is very fearful naturally. They don't have the defenses that other critters have. They don't have quills like porcupines. They don't have camouflage like a butterfly. They don't have stink like a skunk. They don't have a growl like a lion. They don't have a lot of things that are natural defense mechanisms. They just are there, big, fluffy, tasty animals that everybody likes to chew on. And so they're by nature timid and fearful. Hey, God calls us the sheep of His pasture. He's made us out of clay, weak for a purpose. He didn't make us out of stainless steel. We're just steel. We're just plain old pieces of clay without any really natural defenses outside of the Lord. Our great shepherd comes to our defense, and that sheep will not lie down until these conditions are met. So it is with us. We need to understand the good shepherd takes care of our defense. He is our fortress. Nothing, I want you to get this, nothing will make a flock or a sheep lie down as quickly as the presence of the good shepherd, the restorative presence, the protective presence of the shepherd. Reading through that book, a shepherd looks at Psalm 23. Philip Keller says, often he learned quickly after buying his first flock that he would have to sleep next to a shotgun and he'd have to get him a good dog. He got both. He said, at night, when that dog started barking, I'd grab the biggest flashlight I could grab and run out to the field with my trusty sidearm and my trusty dog and flash the light over the field, and nothing would settle the sheep as quickly as my presence there. It seems as if they would simply say, ah, we're okay now. There is a sense in our hearts that when we are surrounded by the enemy, attracted by sin, that we are at a point of confusion. But when we are truly content and satisfied in the presence of the restorative, peace-giving shepherd, we can say, I will fear no evil. The God of Jacob is my refuge. I am so full of fear. And that's why God's book is full of over 300 passages that tell us, quit being afraid. I'm here. The great shepherd is on the job. Fear not, I'll be with you. I'm thy God. Fear not, I will never forsake or leave thee. Fear not, the God of Jacob is thy refuge. Fear not, shepherds, it's okay. We come with a message from God. We represent, the angel said, the very throne of God. Fear not. Are you afraid this morning? Security, first of all, comes when we have a sense of belonging to the good shepherd. Secondly, when we understand the good shepherd cares, we're satisfied in His care for us. What are you worried about? Not only is there a sense of security and help in a time of want, there's also help in a time of worry. He restores our soul. Are you afraid? Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, often between the field and the fold, I'm told by those Bedouins or those that took care of sheep in that day, in that culture, there was always that sense in which the sheep were moving around to find grass and pasture land. And so they'd traverse often these dark places where there was fearsome predators, or there were also the marauding bands that would come in and try to steal the sheep away. They knew they had to go through these places to get to the grassy plains, but the Lord says, when you walk through this valley of shadow, you will fear no evil. Difficult passages in life. Are you there? Are you walking through one of those right now? Dark places where you could lose your footing, stumble off a cliff or an edge, or be attacked by something unknown. They're fearful places in life. Enemies prevail. Temptations assail. Leupold suggests this term, the shadow of death, is not simply just about dying, but it encompasses everything that may cause you to be afraid. Every shadow. Now we know that shadows aren't harmful in and of themselves, right? But they mean something else is out there lurking. And so we're afraid of the shadow because it means not far away is a something evil lurking. Our daughter, I've told you this, when she was young, just was terribly afraid of shadows on her wall that moved. Nothing is worse than a moving shadow. I can remember coming in. She would holler out, Lord, Pastor. She didn't call me Pastor. Daddy, shadows are going to get me. And I would come in and I would say, now you have to lie down. I would make her lie down. Young parents, parents of young children, you ever do that? I would say, now you are going to lie down. No, Daddy, take me to your room. No trouble in parents' rooms, right? It's just my room is the problem. And so I'd say, no, you lie down, and I would put my hand on the small of her back, forcing her to stay in her crib. And she would squirm. I said, I'm right here. Can you feel my hand on your back? Yes. Then when I thought she was asleep, every young parents of, you've done this. When I thought she was asleep, I'd slowly remove my hand, hoping. I would get down on my hands and knees, no kidding, and I'd crawl out of her bedroom, hoping that no floorboard would creak. And invariably it would. And she would pop up, say, take me to your room, Daddy. It's terrible in here. Shadow. Adults don't have trouble with shadows, right? Do we? Most of what you worried about last week was a shadow, probably. Something that had no substance to it, but you were afraid of it. I want to tell you something. The Good Shepherd walks with you in the valley of your shadow, where fearful things approach and attack us. God is there. He is a loving shepherd, and nothing shall separate you from the love that God has for you. Not height, depth, separation by death. None of these things come between you and His ongoing, faithful care that eventually has started in eternity past and will carry you, Romans 8, all the way to heaven. Never at any moment will the Good Shepherd allow anybody to pluck you out of His hand, and He is going to promise you to carry you all the way through. Have you had a fearful experience lately? We all have. Your bouts with health and diagnoses that are a struggle for you. All of us face doubts. And then it says he's not only taking care of our wants and weakness and weariness and worries, He's taking care of our ways. Look, He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He's even taking care of, I say ways, that's probably an app to find places. He's taking care of our paths. I am told that of all the animals, because of their helplessness, no class of livestock requires more care in handling, direction, and management than sheep do. Dogs roam, chickens forage, but sheep don't have a clue. They don't. They need a shepherd badly. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So what that means to me is, if you got up this week and never prayed one time, just took off a running, chances are you got your head stuck in a fence somewhere this past week. You see, God wants to direct our steps, our way. Sheep need a shepherd. Sheep, someone has said, don't get along very well on their own. Left to themselves, listen now, they follow the same trails until they're ruts. They feed on the same pastures until they are barren and waste. They overgraze and destroy their own fields until they're what they call sheeped to death. They need a shepherd to redirect their little feet to other pastures, to other places. They need a shepherd for everything, as we do. So God, the Good Shepherd, leads you in paths that are right, righteous paths. You lead me in the paths that are right, righteous paths. He puts you on trails that you're not familiar with. Has that happened to you recently? He pulls you in ways that are uncomfortable. He forces you to take new trails that you would have not taken. By the way, God never takes you down a path where He gets to the end of it or a dead end and says, wow, I never saw this coming. Or He never says, oops, I didn't see that this would take us in this place. I didn't know it would be this painful. I didn't know it would take us here. He never says, recalculating, recalculating. No, He does what He does perfectly because all His ways are perfect. And at the end of the trail, we realize what He already knew, that I'm taking you down a path for your own good. It wasn't a path you would have chosen, but it's for your best. How many of you ever had a trail that you weren't so sure about? Yeah. And see what He says to you. You would have ruined your life, marred my character by choosing your own way, but my guidance is always perfect. My ways are always righteous. And I'm doing what I'm doing for you, dear sheep, because of the worth of my name. Look at the verse again. I've led you in righteous paths. Why? For what reason? For my own name's sake. In other words, He says, you could translate that for the reputation of God. In other words, I'm going to care for you lovingly. I'm going to direct you accurately because my reputation is at stake as a good shepherd. And I'm going to lead you exactly to a desired end because of the fact that everybody watching you knows your ear is notched with my name. Your heart is crossed with the cross of Calvary. You're purchased with my blood. And so I'm not going to make a mistake with my flock. Amen? God will not lead you in the wrong way. I will go the wrong way. All sheep have gone their own way, right? That's what Isaiah tells us. We've all got our own way. The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquitous wanderings of us all. But when I come to the cross and when I submit to His ownership, when in a sense I let my ear be notched, not literally, kids, but when I take and identify with the body of Christ, and receive Him by faith in my heart and life. Here's the promise that for my name's sake, my own reputation in the world, I'm not going to lead you astray. When people look at you, you're following Christ. There ought to be a smile on your face that recognizes His divine wisdom and authority. You are prosperous in the journey because your eyes on the shepherd. He's not making a mistake. I'm prone to wondering, all we like sheep are going astray. We've led everyone to his own way. Philip Keller, again, had a beautiful, strong female sheep who was restless and discontent. He said she was the prize of the flock, but she was a fence runner. And she threw beautiful lambs. They were the talk and the prize of the herd. Good lines, strong constitution. She was a beauty to behold, but she loved to run the perimeter of our fences and look for weak spots in every pasture. He says it would have been okay if she did that by herself, but she taught her children to do the same thing. He says, it wasn't long before I noticed that this was a pattern in her life. She would go to a new pasture or even an older one, and she'd run the fence lines instead of being content with the shepherd and the great grazing. He said, I would notice as she would find a break in a fence line, or because one of our fields was by the sea, when the tide would go out, there would be a little depression there in the land, and she would find a way through, and she would be grazing in rocky, barren territory where inside the fence there was lush green grass, but she didn't get it. She was a fence runner, always looking for ways to escape the good, nourishing grass to go out looking for greener pastures. And he said, I had to come to a decision. Not only was she lean, bad enough that she did this, always taking my time, corralling her back into the fold. But he said, then her own young were starting to develop the same habits. And then not long after that, others from the fold would do that too. I made a decision as a shepherd, a hard decision, to take my killing knife, he says. And at the end of one season, I turned her into mutton. And I did that to protect my whole herd. She was leading them all astray. How sad it is, just look this way, how sad it is when we look at the good shepherd and we run to the fence. And instead of enjoying all the nourishing goodness of the Word and the loving care of a shepherd, we say, no, I want out of here. I want to go taste and see what the world has. And in doing that, not only do we pay a great price personally, but we lead others astray as well. How gracious of God if He is allowing you this moment the favor of taking His rod and staff, or staff, and bringing you back. Thank God for that. If He has brought you back from the fields of sin, the meager, barren fields of sin, back to the fold in His side, how good of God to do that. But don't be surprised if God, after all this straying, finally says, enough of that. You're taking too many down the wrong path. Stop it. And if you won't, I may have to terminate your life. Not that you lose your salvation, but you lose the opportunity of service and closeness to the shepherd. How sad it would be to arrive in heaven as a stray sheep who has been really punished for a life of straying. May God help us to stay close to the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Yea, though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The security of belonging to a good shepherd, the satisfaction, contentment of belonging to a loving shepherd, and finally, and we must hurry, the safety that comes from belonging to the strong, sovereign shepherd. We've mentioned it. I don't have to fear, verse 4, for you're with me. You have a rod. This is a protective weapon, really, as we understand it from ancient Mideast culture. They would take this rod, almost a club-like thing, and make it a dangerous tool for running off predators. And the staff often had a crook at the end of it for pulling sheep that strayed away or fell off a trail, pull it back into submission and back into its proper place. They are with me because He is with me, and these instruments of care are in His hand, and He knows how to use them and wield them at the right time. I am comforted. Then verse 5, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I never really understood that well until I studied this out this week. I guess we all have a picture of a table with four legs, and it's sitting there, and it's surrounded by all kinds of, well, who are your enemies, right? Surrounded, and you're eating peacefully. That's not far from the picture, but a shepherd says this means he goes to the, could be translated, the table lands. Towards the end of spring and early summer, a shepherd would go up to the tablelands were higher. After the grass was all used up down low, they'd have to find tablelands higher in the mountains where the grass and the sheep could be nourished. Of course, the sheep could be nourished by these little tablelands. And early in the spring, the shepherd would go and would pick out the poisonous plants and clear the field and assess the threats. Every one of these little pockets of grass in the mountains these little flatlands, these tablelands, be surrounded by cliffs and jagged peaks where all those predators would love to just perch. The cougars, foxes, and others would love to perch and just watch the sheep as they feed in the tablelands. And the shepherd had to not only at times take weapons with him to protect the sheep, but often ahead of the season trap these animals that would be a problem to the sheep. And so in the presence, a very literal picture, these sheep would be feeding peacefully while the shepherd was had his eyes up at all the predators. Question, have you ever been afraid, have you, of the predators, the enemies in your life that come against you, that cause you to fear, and you wonder, what about the enemy of want, the enemy that comes against me, who doesn't love the cause of Christ, who is opposing what I do, people that would swallow us up quick, as one psalm we studied said. What am I to do with my fears? What if? What if? And a sheep could not feed successfully while always looking up, wondering, I wonder when that cougar is going to pounce. When the shepherd's on duty, that sheep can peacefully feed. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest, takes care of all my health needs with oil. My cup is brimful, as Luther put it. It's just full to the brim. I talk to so many Christians who come to Sunday services hoping it's done quickly so they can get home to things that cause their cup to be full, basketball games and activities. David, the shepherd, recognizing all the benefits of the great shepherd, just held up his cup and said, my cup is to the brim with God's goodness. It's spilling over. All these wonderful benefits of the shepherd, my cup runs over. And he ends that great verse of assurance, confidence. We don't have to have confidence and confidence alone, but in the promise of God, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days. These are not sheepdogs, as some have suggested. No, these are God's benefits to us. Surely goodness and mercy. His character overflows towards me. Did you sin last week? I got some of your attention there. Was God gracious to forgive? Was God merciful to you? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, not part of them, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Bow your heads with me, please. Perhaps you're here and you're not sure if you are part of God's flock. You're not 100% sure that you could say the Lord is my shepherd. There's a doubt in your heart. You're not 100% sure that you're saved. There's not been a time where you've come to Christ by faith and you've trusted Him as your shepherd, your Lord and Savior. Right now, with your head bowed and no one's looking, you would simply say by indicating with a raised hand that I'm not sure that I'm saved. I know others got saved last week and they got it settled, but there's a question mark, excuse me, in my heart about that. And here's my hand. Pastor, pray for me. Don't embarrass me, but here's my hand. I'd like to know more. God loves you. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? I'd like to get that thing settled in my life, my heart. Anyone else? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Thank you. Anyone else? But I'd like to figure that out by God's grace. I'd like to know that I'm part of His family, His flock. Take one more little minute. Anyone else? Then to the rest of us, let me ask this. Perhaps you're here and you know that you've been a fence runner, right? You have not been content and satisfied with the goodness and love of the shepherd. You keep looking at other pastures, though they be barren. You want out. You don't want to be close. You know it. Your hand is up today or raised, just simply saying, pray for me that I would enjoy the care, the love, the direction of the shepherd. I need to be closer to him. Here's my hand. Pray for me. Amen. Anyone else? Thank you. I just want to be closer to the good shepherd. Maybe your thing is you've been full of fears, right? You've been worried about everything, forgetting the presence of the good shepherd. And by the lifted hand, you'd say, pray for me. I've been consumed with worry. And I just needed the message today to remind me that God is here. He is the shepherd. He's got this under control. Here's my hand. Thank you, my good shepherd. Amen. Stand with me then quietly. If your need is a Savior, right? You come as we sing. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can know Him for sure. Whatever your need is, you come. Step out on the first stanza as we sing. 258. Still have your Bible open to Psalm 23? I don't. I better find it. Let's end as we've been ending each one of these Psalms by quoting them or reading them again, right? Psalm 23. And I think it'd just be wise for us to do that as we close, and then we'll have a word or two of announcement. I want to just say something to those who are new to us by coming on the bus. Did you know that God loves you so very much? Some of you, we met at camp, right, last summer. Some of you already received the Lord as your Savior. That's great. He wants you to grow and follow Him. Our concern for you is that you know the great shepherd as your Savior and Lord, that you follow Him. Thank you, Mr. Starr, for bringing them today. That's the truth for all of us. How well do you know the shepherd? Let's read that psalm together, beginning verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may be seated. I'll close this in a word of prayer, and then we'll have a few wonderful announcements. Father, thank you for loving us the way you do, for following and pursuing the lost sheep. Even the one who strayed from the flock, you go after the one while the 99 are safe in the fold. Thank you for loving us and following us and having mercy and goodness upon us. We couldn't ask for a better shepherd, so keep our eyes fixed firmly upon you, the one that loves us most and paid the most for our price of redemption. Lord, help us to be good sheep, we pray, this week and the weeks to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today.
Please tune in each week for new messages from Pastor Lauren Regeer at Bible Baptist Church in Hampton, Georgia. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you.